Bibles this morning with us into Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. As you're turning, we'd just like to welcome everyone this morning, visitors that are with us. Good to have you with us, and we're glad to be in the house of God this morning. We have seen God do amazing things. I think we've seen Him do an amazing thing this week. I believe prayer has played a great role in what we've seen happen in our nation in our recent elections. And I'd be honest with you, I was praying for it and desiring it, but I was totally unexpecting it. And we preached Wednesday night about the power of a praying church. And over in Acts chapter 12, we have the account of Peter's imprisonment, and they had Peter in prison, and Herod was going to kill Peter like he did James because he seen it pleased the Jews. And he had him delivered to 16 soldiers whose responsibility it was to guard Peter. He was chained between two and slept between two in the prison. And two stood without the gate to guard the prison. And these were just those who were assigned to Peter, let alone the regular prison guards. And every 6 hours they would switch off on the guards. And Peter always had four guards just keeping him in safety. But the Bible tells us that the church was praying. Amen? The church was praying. And God set Peter free. And we preached the other night about the power of a praying church. And you know, there's a lot of power in a praying church. We've seen that the church in praying breaks the chains that bind. Amen? The chains, the binding that they had on Peter just fell off. We see that a praying church finds guidance in the midst of unfamiliar and troubled circumstances. And I tell you what, America needs a praying church right now. Amen. America needs a praying church. We're going through uncertainty, uncertain waters. A praying church can see the plans of the devil defeated against us. And we know that they were going to kill Peter, but Peter got set free. We see a praying church can bring overwhelming joy as Peter knocked at the gate and Rhoda went to see who it was. And as she found out that it was Peter, she got so excited and so happy she went into the house to tell everybody that Peter was there and forgot to let Peter in. But in the house, they were like old Dennis. I got up Wednesday morning and I began praying before I even turned the TV or turned the news on to see who had won the election. And said, God, you know, whatever your will was is what I wanted to be done. But you know what direction I was leaning, you know what I was looking for, and I don't expect it. And we find out that sometimes we pray and we really don't expect God to do what we're praying about. But God gives unexpected answers to prayer. Rhoda told him, Peter standing at the gate knocking. They said, he can't. He's in prison. But this is the same group of people that had been praying for Peter. Are you getting this? Amen. And prayer conquers the enemy every time. Prayer can defeat the enemy when nothing else can. Prayer can affect changes when nothing else can. We preached on Wednesday night about the power of a praying church. I want to preach to you this morning on the picture of a praying church. The picture of a praying church. In Acts chapter number 4, if you found it, we'd invite you to stand to your feet if you're able as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Now I'm going to bring you up to speed. Well, let's just go ahead and read the text and then we'll get into it. In verse number 23 says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servant that with all thy boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as had possessions of lands and houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Let me say this morning, if things went in this past election the way you wanted them to go or didn't want them to go, that's real irrelevant. God is the one that's in control. But what we need to do, I don't care which way you was a praying. It don't matter which way you was a praying. But I tell you what, it's no time now to stop praying. Amen. It seems like when we get into the midst of great difficulties and great circumstances, the church will rise up and begin to pray. But very soon we grow weary of praying faithfully. We grow weary of praying patiently. We grow weary of praying that God's will would be accomplished when we don't see things happen in our time and in our manner and in our way. Let me encourage you this morning. Pray like you have never prayed before. Amen. Pray like your very life and the lives of your children and your grandchildren depend upon it, because indeed that they truly do. Amen. We need to pray. We need to pray like never before. And I tell you what, we've seen tragedy come. We've seen the church come together and begin to pray. And we've seen God move. And we've seen God do things. And we can still see God do what is needed to bring America back to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Amen. Amen. Then will I hear from him. Are y'all awake this morning? Amen. Amen. Pray. Amen. Pray. We need to get busy praying. They prayed for Peter in the midst of a tragedy, and God done something greater than what they was expecting to happen. I don't know what they were praying for. I don't know what they were expecting was going to happen, but God brought a great deliverance. And if the church today will keep praying, God will still deliver according to his abundant mercies. He's promised that he would. Amen. But I want to preach to you this morning on the picture of a praying church. We got great power, unrealized power so many times because we don't use the privilege of entering into the throne room of God to make our petitions known unto him like we should. Amen. It's just like having dynamite and having an obstacle in the way and not using the dynamite that you have. Amen. Yeah, you're trying to dig a foundation for a house, and you run into a rock, and you can chip away at it, and you can hammer at it all you want to, but there ain't nothing like a good old stick of dynamite, amen, to move an obstacle out of your way, amen. There's nothing like prayer to help you in the midst of obstacles to find the deliverance and to find the help that you stand in need of. And God's people are here at this place now. They're beginning to see God do things. And a few chapters later, they're seeing the power of God be unleashed on their behalf because of their prayers, that God might be honored in and among His people. And now we see as the church is just getting started, the church is just getting built, the church is just getting underway. Jesus has done left His disciples and has done told them to go into the world and preach Christ and Him crucified and baptize people and see lives change. Praise God. And they began to do that. They were fearful. They were scared. No doubt. They were anxious doing what God had called them to do, but they did it. And Peter stood up and he began to preach boldly, and the power of God came through the place like a mighty rushing wind. Amen. And he filled their hearts, and the Bible says 3,000 souls got saved. Amen. And they began to pray and praise God and worship Him. And then we see a short while later, Peter and John on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Let me tell you something, folks. Saints, the old apostles, the foundation of the church knew the importance of prayer, and they were on their way to the temple. They were on their way to the house of worship at the hour of prayer. Amen. Jesus had walked in their midst. Jesus had given them power to heal. He had given them power to cast out devils. He had given them power to do all kinds of things, but they still realized the importance of prayer in their lives. Amen. And as they were on their way to the temple, they seen a man who was lame from his birth that begged alms at the temple. And as they passed by, he begged an alms of them. And Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "Rise up and walk." And that lame man got up. He began to run. He began to walk. He began to show off what God had done to him. And when the multitudes seen this, they came a rushing unto Peter and John, and they came a rushing to see what was going on. And Peter began to preach the power of God. He began to preach Christ and Him crucified. He began to preach what Paul said was necessary for the world to hear, the message of the deliverance that God has provided. And 5,000 souls got saved. Amen. Amen. And we see God moving. And then here comes the religious crowd. They don't like what's happening. And they tell Peter and John and in strong terms that they cannot preach and they cannot teach in this name and they can't do this any longer. And Peter and John come on back to the first group of Christians, the church that had already been established, and tells them what happened. And what's the first thing that the church did? They began to pray. Amen. They began to pray. You know why they prayed? Because they've already seen God do exceedingly and abundantly above all that they could ask or think. 3,000 souls were saved. They hear the report of the revival that took place down at the Temple Mount. And 5,000 souls got converted that day. They began to see the power of God in their presence. And they prayed because they wanted to see God continue to touch and to bless and to move. You see, the picture of a praying church has great ramifications in many ways, and it stretches forth beyond an altar of prayer, beyond a personal prayer closet. It stretches forth into the world. It stretches forth into your families. It stretches forth into your marriages. It stretches forth into your relationships. It stretches forth into our governments. It stretches forth everywhere because there is no constraint with God. Amen. Amen. And power just unleashes through the church the power of God in the world in which we live. Let me show you a few things that show the picture of a praying church. Number one, if you turn in your Bibles back into Acts chapter number 2, you can find out that a praying church is a worshiping church. Amen? We don't gather together at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church to have a little club meeting. We gather here to worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We gather here to uplift Jesus Christ. We talk about the Democratic candidate and the Republican candidate and the independent candidates that run. But all of them are insignificant because there's one who is still the Lord. There's one who's still the King. There's one who still sits on the throne. There's one whose footstool is still the earth. There's one that is still in control, and he's the one that needs to be lifted up. Amen. Look at what they said. Verse number 42. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. This is the church, 3,000 that done got saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And verse 47, praising God, that's worship, and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. It was a worshiping church that God instituted. It was a worshiping church that prayed. It was a worshiping church that fellowshipped. It was a worshiping church that come together to uplift Jesus. It says, and they prayed and they praised God. I tell you what, the world needs to see a church that's praising God instead of praising man. Amen. The world needs to see a church this morning that's uplifting Jesus instead of uplifting some foolish denomination or some foolish religion. Praise God, this morning I'm thankful that I'm saved by the blood of the crucified Lamb. I'm thankful this morning I'm kept by His power. I'm kept by His presence. I'm kept by His Spirit. And praise God, it has nothing to do with my ability. Praise God, but it has everything to do with what He's done for me in my life. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, if we can get that in our hearts and minds, if we can get in that spirit of worshiping Him, I hear so many times people say, well, I almost shouted. Well, why didn't you? Why do you want to stifle the power of God? Amen. God's wanting to do something, but we got to let go. Amen. Amen. And let God. Yes. And if God says shout, shout. Amen. Don't worry about what anybody's going to think. You know, one of the things that is missing in the church today is the shout of the saints of God. Amen. Amen. Now, I know Sister Mary can, I'm not trying to say something but about me and Sister Mary and Brother Jim and some of others around here. But I know she can tell you about the times in churches when people shouted. Amen. I know I can tell you about the times in church where people shouted. Amen. And they weren't ashamed to shout. You know why? Because they were there to worship God. They wasn't there to please people. Amen. They were there to uplift Jesus. And praise God, He had done something in their life that made Him worthy of being shouted about and being lifted up. How many of y'all remember Brother Mark Hill? He was a missionary we supported to Ireland several years ago. For those that you don't know, he's the assistant pastor at Emerton Baptist Church now. And I've been praying about to get Mark up here to preach a revival or something. And praise God, he done moved into the neighborhood. Amen. But old Brother Mark, I've seen him several times. I've seen him here in this church preaching. And God just get a hold of him and just take a shouting fit and run around the church one time. And just as a young man, amen, he was barely in his early 20s, amen. His kids were little Josiah's preaching now. Amen. 15 years old, he's preaching now. We'll be having him to come preach for us. Amen. But praise God. You know, he got excited. He didn't care what anybody thought. I've seen him at Jubilee down at Gateway Baptist Church. There, Brother Ray Stewart's church, where Brother Ray Stewart pastored. I've seen him get happy in that church and take off and do a running fit and run around that church, run out the back door. And a few minutes later, you'd see him come back in the other door up on the other side just a praising God. Why? Because he was there to worship and he didn't care what anybody thought. Amen. I tell you what, we need to let go and let God let us worship. Amen. And praise him and lift him up. Another picture of a praying church is it's a focused church. Right there in Acts chapter 42, or chapter number 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, steadfastly in prayers. Amen. And look in verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. With one accord and in singleness of heart. You know what that tells me? They had their focus on the right things. Amen. We got focused on a presidential election. And we got focused on candidates. And we got focused on issues. And we got focused on this. And we got focused on everything else. Praise God, won't we get focused on Jesus? Amen. With the intensity that we did about a presidential election. Why don't we get in one mind and one accord? Why don't we choose to praise him this morning? Why don't we choose to lift him up this morning? Why don't we choose to worship him this morning? Why don't we choose to give him all glory and honor this morning? Let's get in one mind and one accord. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst also. If a couple of people will get into this thing and say, it's about Jesus this morning. It's about Jesus this morning. It's about Jesus this morning. Praise God. The power of God can just break out in this place. Amen. I tell you what, this church isn't about the Baptist denomination. This church is about Jesus. This church isn't about any preacher or pastor, anybody else that's ever been here. This church is about Jesus. Amen. The ministries of this church are for one purpose. That's to uplift Jesus, that souls might be saved. Amen. From Tabitha's Pantry to the Awana Club, our goal and our purpose is to uplift Jesus before a lost and a dying world in whatever way we can, that we might see souls saved. Because you know what? Another picture of a praying church is it's a soul-winning church. Look in chapter 4, in verse number 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. We see two fellows going to the house of God because it was the hour of prayer. We see two fellows on their way to prayer, and God just interrupts their plans, and God just puts an opportunity in their way to see a soul saved on their way to prayer. Let me say this again. I believe they've been praying before they headed to the house of God to pray. Amen. But they seen the importance of prayer. And at the hour of prayer, do you realize that prayer was an important part in their daily lives? Prayer was paramount to them. It was paramount to the power of God working through them and for them and because of them that Jesus had commissioned them to do. They were on their way to the temple in the hour of prayer, at the hour of prayer, and an opportunity presented itself to tell somebody about Jesus. And they praised God. They honored Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, rise up and walk. And that lame man got up and he walked. That lame man got up and began to praise God. That lame man got up and began to tell what Jesus had just done for him in his life. And praise praise God because some men were concerned about prayer. Some men were on their way to pray. Some men had been praying. 5,001 souls got saved. Amen. I tell you what, there's nothing like belonging to a soul-winning church. Amen. There's nothing that thrills my soul than preach on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Sunday night or preach in a revival somewhere and see some soul come down to an old-fashioned altar and give their heart and life to Jesus. Man, that makes it all worthwhile. Amen. There's nothing like going out into the world and being able to have the opportunity when God puts an opportunity in your way. Many people see opportunities as obstacles. They get focused on the wrong thing. They get focused. Just think if Peter and John had got focused on being in the temple. Just think if they got focused on being in the church service more than the opportunity that God had placed in their way. Just think if they got focused on the wrong thing. There would have been no revival meeting. Hey, man, let me tell you what. They went down to the house of God. Hey, man. And there wasn't nothing down there but a bunch of old whited walls. Hey, man. A preaching and a teaching and man's doctrine. The things that pleased man, the things that they themselves couldn't even adhere to. And praise God, Peter and John see an opportunity on the way where many that were coming into the temple seen an obstacle. Can you imagine every time you come to the house, you've seen that beggar man sitting there. And pretty soon people would start, they'd come in by another way. They'd slip in through another door. They'd slip in when he wasn't looking. They'd wait till somebody was talking to him or dealing with him, and they would slip in behind him so that they wouldn't have to deal with this obstacle that was in the way. But as Peter and John came by, they seen an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. And when they told somebody about Jesus, praise God, a soul got gloriously born into the family of God. And because a soul got born into the family of God, a revival broke out down at the church house, amen, and things got turned around and things were a little bit different, and Jesus was preached and souls got saved, and praise God, a difference was made in 5,001 lives for all of eternity. Just think of the opportunities that God puts in your way every day, child of God. You ought to pray that God would put these opportunities in your way. You ought to pray for the privilege of being able to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. That's the picture of a praying church. Amen. That they see the opportunity to see souls saved. Let me tell you something else. Not only as a praying church, a worshiping church, and a focused church, and a soul-winning church, a praying church is a giving church. Amen. Boy, man. Woo, that's tightening things right up. About two or three amens. And a man. Now, I don't preach on giving. Amen? 15 years, how many times have y'all ever heard me preach anything about giving? Some preachers, they make it a point, you got to preach so much on stewardship and giving and this and that, and you should do this every year, preach on giving. I don't preach on giving, but I won't neglect what the Bible says. Amen. A praying church is a giving church. Amen. I've had people tell me, say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I tell them I can't afford not to. Amen. Amen. I can't afford not to. Amen. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Let me tell you what. You think you can't afford to tithe, it's because you're not trusting your finances to God. You're not allowing God to do what he wants to do. God says you can have all the money that you want to. He said, I'll make your bags. That they, in the old days, he used to put their gold and the money in bags. He said, I'll make holes in your bags. And your money will just disappear. He said, I can blow on it and it just disappear. And let me tell you what else he can do. Amen. He can take the dollar of a saint of God that trust him with their finances and stretch it further than what a $100 bill could go in someone else's life. I have seen it happen. My mother-in-law lived on a pension for a long time. I don't know how she lived on it. And she was a praying woman. She trusted God. She'd call me up and say, "How much is your electric bill this month?" I said, "Well, now, Dorothy," I said, "you know you got them little tiny light bulbs." "Yeah. But how much was your electric bill?" "Oh, my electric bill was $110. You know how much mine was?" I said, $20. She said, "No, guess again." I said, $15. Now, some of y'all knew my mother-in-law. Amen. And she was a godly woman. She trusted God. Had depended on God for many years. I mean, one time she said, $7. She said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "The power company sent somebody out here to check my meter." Because they said there was something wrong. And guess what? I said, "What?" She said, "There wasn't nothing wrong." Amen. You know what that is? That's God. Amen. That's God. God can take what you're willing to give and surrender unto Him, and He can multiply it. He can make. He never said He was going to make you rich. He never said He was going to make you wealthy. He never said that He was going to give you riches and diamonds and gold. And he said your treasures are in another world. Amen. He said set your affections on another world. But I'll tell you what He did say. He said He would supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You know what the church did? They prayed. They prayed. And they prayed. And they come together. And they prayed. And they sought God's face. They prayed. And they seen God move. They prayed. And they knew God that was able to take whatever had been given unto them. And they gave. In Acts chapter 2:45, it says they gave. In our text we read this morning, verses 34 to 37, they gave. We see Paul as he's writing to the Roman church, and he's on his way to Jerusalem to deliver an offering that the churches in Macedonia and Achaia had taken up for the church. They gave because there was a need in the church at Jerusalem. They gave, and they gave unabashedly. They gave unafraid. They gave not willing to hold back that the cause of Christ might be magnified. I thank God that Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church is a giving church. Amen. I thank God that we give to our missionaries, and we know they got a need that we can meet. We meet it. Amen. 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 Now we do that. Yeah. Wednesday night we just sent money to three different mission works that we support that had great needs. Amen. I'm thankful for a giving church. Amen. 2 Corinthians. Let me go find it. 9:7. Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church. Now y'all got, when I talked about giving, I got about one or two amens. Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, "God loveth a cheerful giver." Amen. Amen. You know what that means? We don't give begrudgingly. We don't give because we feel we have to. We give because we get to. Amen. 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 I was in a service one time, and Brother Tracy Duvall was taking up the offering. And he quoted that verse. He said, "God loveth a cheerful giver." He said, "But He'll take it from a grouch." Amen. So I always like that. Amen. But you know, one of the marks of a praying church, one of the marks of a church that God has got in the midst of, and He's in the midst of their people, it's a people that are trusting Him and depending on Him, and they know that they can give because He is going to supply, and He's going to meet their needs, and He's going to take what is given and use it to His glory. And not only is the praying church a worshiping church, a focused church, a soul-winning church, a giving church, but the praying church is a spiritual church. Amen? I tell you what, you can walk into to a lot of churches today, and it's just as dead as anything can be. It's just as somber and solemn. And some people say, well, that's the way a service should be. Uh-uh, that's not worship, amen. That's not worship. That's not uplifting God. Look at what it said here in verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Praise God. Paul told the Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to God, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see, you get focused and get on one mind and one accord. You begin to pray and praising God and seeking God's will. You know what they prayed for? God's hand to be upon them. They prayed for God's touch upon them. They prayed for God to be able to give them power to minister in this world. And what did God do? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. I'm glad in the service when the Holy Spirit shows up and He blesses our hearts, He blesses our souls, and He reminds us one more time He's just as close as the mention of His name. He's just as close as a praise. The psalmist said, God inhabits the praises of Israel. Well, if He inhabits the praises of Israel, I believe He'll inhabit the praises of His people today. Amen. God's no respecter of person. You say, well, I didn't get anything out of the service today. Well, did you pray for the service? I didn't get anything out of the service today. It was just dead. What was you praying for the service? It says, and when they had prayed. Praise God. I want you to know something. A lot of times our services don't have the presence and the power of God in them like they should. A lot of times the individual life doesn't get blessed like it should because we didn't pray for God to move in our midst. We didn't pray for God to have power in our lives. Amen. He says, and when they had prayed, amen, the Holy Spirit showed up. When they had prayed, man, they knew what worship was all about. When they had prayed, they were thankful for the souls that had got saved. When they had prayed, they were thankful that they were in the midst of a bunch of people who had the same mind and same accord, the same focus in their lives to uplift the name of Jesus. When they had prayed, praise God, they worshiped and they gave. And they submitted themselves unto the Lord. We have the power and the privilege of entering into God's throne room, as I said earlier. We have the privilege of the Spirit making intercession for us on our behalf. Because we really don't know how to pray. And we really don't know what to pray for. But the Spirit knows our hearts. And He shares our heart. He shares our burden. That it might get through. And it might get into God's ear. As sincerely as we really mean it in our hearts and lives. Folks, you want to see this church just bust loose. And God just begin to do something. Start praying.
Amen.
Amen. Start praying. Start praying. Get in one mind and one accord. Forget about politics. Forget about religion. Forget about denomination. And just start praying. God, do something. Pray for the pastor. You don't have anything else to pray for. Pray for me. Amen? Pray for whoever stands behind the sacred desk. Amen? That God's power would rest upon them. Pray for the teaching. Pray for the singing. Pray for the worship service. Pray for the lost souls that will enter here. Pray for the broken hearts and the broken lives that need mended. Begin to pray for God to do a great work at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, and you'll be amazed at what God would do.
Amen.
God's blessed us already. God's stirring our hearts already. But friends, we need to get into this thing. We need to get serious about this thing. We need to take prayer seriously. Every other Wednesday night we have prayer meeting. Amen. Is it important enough to you to be there? Every adult Sunday school class, unless something drastic happens, we have prayer. We have an altar of prayer. We pray. We're a praying church. We're praying people. And we're praying for God's will and God's power and God's presence. But praise God, you want to see God do something. Begin to pray, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Let me personally take responsibility for what's going to happen in my church. Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Amen. They didn't say, come on, let's go. Let's go make a big hoo-ha down here at the church. They were just going to the house of God at the hour of prayer because they wanted to be there. They wanted to, and God did a great thing because they were willing to submit themselves to prayer. Folks, Brother Jim, Sister Mary, give a song of invitation. Folks, you want to see God do something in Charlestown this morning? You need God to do something in your life. You need God to do something in your family. Trust Him and call on Him. And put your petition before Him and see what He can do. So we stand.